Well, good morning to you. I hope you're doing well. We're glad to have the Dormans here today. Be sure to count them. We've got, what, 8 Dormans here today? 7 Dormans here today. Okay. They reached the, remember years ago, Joan told me, so when we had 7 children, we reached the number of perfection. And then God gave that revelation to Doug later. We're glad you're here today. On this Palm Sunday, as we begin Christians all over the world call Holy Week, a lot of things are going to be happening, and hope you'll take advantage of all the opportunities you'll have to reflect and be reminded of everything that our Lord did for us. In the midst of all that's happening out in the world, there there'll be advertising about that, especially coming into next weekend. There'll be people in your life that are not part of God's family. And this is a great opportunity for you to talk to them about their relationship to God. There'll be conversations that'll open to you this week that aren't open the other 51 weeks out of the year. So be vigilant to talk to people. And more than anything else, you know, we're not trying to build a kingdom here on this earth. This world is not our home. We're passing through. And if you can encourage a person that'll go and be a part of a church that preaches the gospel, that believes the Word of God, it doesn't have to be this one. This is just one local body. But let me encourage you. Bring them with you. Invite people to be here. Because they will get to hear the resurrection message next Sunday. Now be reminded, we are having a 9:30 service. We haven't had one the last several years on Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have a 9:30 service and an 11 o'clock service that day. And that dance in the park, that's just going to be fun. There's just no other way to describe it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a celebration in the park. And I guarantee you that God will speak to you while you're there at the park. And I'm praying that God's going to speak to some of you to bring fried chicken with you when you come. So we can enjoy that. We can enjoy that together and just enjoy being there. And for people not to feel like that we're salesmen, that we're trying to get something over on them with our gospel presentation. You know, if I do it good enough, if I get it slick enough in my church service, possibly I can push somebody over the edge. And the ones that get pushed over the edge that way are dragged back very quickly. We just want to be real. It's like when you come here on Sunday. It's one of our desires, one of our values is that it'd be like family. You know, sometimes like we're just around the kitchen table and we're talking about stuff, a lot of stuff. And speaking of stuff, I've had a lot of it in my life this week. My mother got some news this week. It wasn't good news. You know, she's been sick for weeks. She fell and cracked part of her sternum about 6 weeks ago. But we thought that was a curse. It ended up being a blessing because it got her to the doctor quicker. God doesn't waste anything. Long story short, Tuesday, we find out she has ovarian cancer. And they're going to do surgery tomorrow. And Thursday, my mom was sitting in the hospital room there, And kind of in between, some of you that so graciously came with your visits, your phone calls, your emails, your texts, your carrier pigeons, and everything else that came that showed us the love of God. And I thank God for that. Don't you, Dad? Thank the Lord for that. She's sitting there, and she just, out of the clear blue, she says, I just have such peace. There was no lead up to the conversation. There was no bait and switch there. She felt the peace of God. What I realized then was that people had been bathing her in prayer in our family. I want you to know we feel it. It is palpable. This is real life stuff that's going on. For Christians to pretend that stuff doesn't affect them is hogwash. It affects us all. That's why we need Jesus. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So be praying for her tomorrow. She'll be at Memorial Hospital. 11 o'clock, she's supposed to have they're supposed to begin the surgery. Of course, you know how that goes. Others need our prayers this week. Don was in and out of the hospital. He passed out this week, and he's had a rough week. Janine Fields' dad, Bo Ray, Henry Ray. I found that out a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know his name was Henry. He had open heart surgery, had a valve replaced, 2 bypasses and all. He's in Memorial Hospital right now. Needs our prayers, all of these. So as we pray, we're going to have time to pray at the end today. We want to lift them all up before the Lord and do this. Let the Holy Spirit unpeel our fingers and our white knuckles off of them so we can present them before the Lord for Him to do what He is, wants to do. And one thing I did is I was praying last night and yesterday. I said, Lord, what is it? I know You've been speaking to me about my mom. And I heard this very clearly. I'm not finished with Beverly Reynolds yet. So I'll take that. I believe God heals. I've seen God heal. Oh, I forgot about you, Regina. We're not going to let you give your testimony right now, but Regina's also in the hospital this week and for procedure. And we thank God that He's watching over all of us in this. Now, it's Palm Sunday. We're reading in Matthew 19 in just a moment. Today's message is the complete fulfillment. But I've got a story to tell you. I'm riding down Eisenhower Drive. It's been a few weeks ago. And I've just finished a phone call, and I'm going through all the, you know that windshield time. You're thinking about all these things. And I look over into Minnick Park, where those ball fields are on Eisenhower Drive. Spent many an hour there. And in the dirt parking lot out there, I see a white truck. Now notice, it's odd. There's no other vehicle out there. And behind this white truck, as it's rolling across the parking lot, is a rope. And I said, I wonder if that guy knows there's a rope hanging out. It was a long rope. It looked like it was, 7,500 feet out the back of it. Well, the traffic stopped, so I got a good look at it, and then I saw the guy turn around, and he stops. Gets out of the truck, and he kind of limps around the back, and he looks at the rope, and I thought, he's discovered it. He's going to reel it in. But he gets back in the truck, and he goes off again. I thought, I wonder if that man's crazy. And he's just, that thing's just dragging it. And then he started going in circles. out there, you know, like cutting crop circles or something, you know, out in Minnick Field. And then he goes straight, and so the traffic lets up, and I'm able to get a little bit closer. I thought, man, somebody needs to go out and talk to him. He's acting weird and strange. I wonder if his family knows he's out here being all weird and everything, you know. And I'm going through all this that's going through my mind because I've raced ahead, and I'm thinking about it. And I get up close enough, and he gets out of the truck again, and he limps around the back. I said, you know, I recognize that limp.
Oh, no.
It's my daddy.
Oh, no.
Now, so then I'm laughing at myself because I'm thinking, well, God's already answered my prayer because the family member that needed to go over there and get him, God's already provided. So I pull off the road and I pull up there and I said, what are you doing? And in his Uncle Delbo fashion, he said, I'm just straightening out my extension cord. It was all kinked up, and I'm pulling it around here. Now, that showed me again that even the weirdest things have a meaning. And as weird as that was, it had a meaning, and it had a meaning for me. And after he told me, explained it, I understood it perfectly. That's a good idea, how to straighten up your extension cord and get it all in line. I just never thought of it. This week is all about getting it all straight and seeing how all of those prophetic messages in this book fit together. And we see the fulfillment of it. Now, I encourage you to go with me to John 19, excuse me, I said 19, John 12. And we're going to read there from the NIV, 12 to 19. And the next day, the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches, they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Do you see that? He puts it together. Now, the crowd that was with him, when they called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look now, the whole world has gone after him. Now, in this passage, we're going to see today the complete fulfillment. On his triumphal entry, as he comes into Jerusalem on that day, some of them thought they understood it. And we may think we understand it today. But let's look at it and examine it a little more closely. Did Jesus fulfill the prophecies? Well, did he? Well, first we see that he indeed was the Lamb of God. Remember? Remember what his cousin John said? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. The Passover. Remember, you know, as he fulfills the Passover, the blood sprinkled over the doorpost back in Egypt, so that the death angel would pass over every household that had that blood covering them. And here the one who fulfills that comes, and he is the Lamb of God who sheds his blood so that we could be covered, so death would pass over us. We are people who know Jesus who only, that's if he tarries, die once, will not die twice. Because we're born twice. Get it? They were covered. Only the perfect Lamb of God could come and be this sacrifice for mankind. All those sacrifices of the Old Testament that we read about, all those pictures of the lamb being slain, all of that, he fulfills that at once in his death on the cross. Secondly, he was the king. Verse 13 speaks of the palm branches that were spread out before him.
You know, those people, many of them, they were looking for an earthly king, right? They want someone who would come and lead them politically. Are we any different? We tie on to every political message that comes along. And what happens every time we jump in bed with a politician? Well, you know the answer to that. Our answer is not in politics. Our answer is not in political solutions. Our answer is in King Jesus. They spread out those palm branches and they claim, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Quoting the 118th Psalm. They saw him as the coming king. Now granted, when he came the first time, as he came at that time, he came to set up his kingdom in our hearts. King Jesus is King of my heart. But we look forward to, as those prophecies did, often as you look through, that there would be dual fulfillment of them. There's another fulfillment to the prophecy of King Jesus when he comes back the second time, right? Where he will reign and rule and set up his kingdom on this earth and show us how it's supposed to be done. Third, he was Savior. The people shouted there in verse 13, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Every Palm Sunday we read that passage. What does Hosanna mean? Say now. Save now. Has Jesus done that for you? What was he about to do? In just a few days after they were shouting that, some of the same people probably would be shouting out, crucify him, right? They were fickle, just like us. Just like us. You see, even in Christendom, in America, we're not very loyal, are we? Are we? We do what is convenient. Convenience runs most of what we do. And convenience runs most of the church in America. Oh, we get all our stuff and get all bent out of shape about all of our programs and our stuff. You take the convenience out of it, and what have you got? Ask a Chinese Christian
today about how much convenience means. But here's Jesus, who in a few days would go to the cross and there die alone. And there he would be hanging on the cross between heaven and earth. And he would say these words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As the Father would turn his back on his only Son, and the sin of the entire world would come upon him. Just imagine, do you know what conviction is in your heart? Of course you do. When God brings to bear what your sin, where you're guilty, and all you can say is, "I'm guilty." Magnify that by the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. And there you have what came to bear on Jesus at one time as he became our sacrifice, our Savior. He is the only person who could be on that cross. Therefore, he is the Son of God who came and took away the sin of the world. Finally, number four, he was a humble servant. Verses 14 and 15 speak of his riding in a town on the colt of a donkey. This is an ultimate act of humility. Voluntarily humbling himself before the mission that the Father had given him. And what would we hear him say? And you know, depicting his humanity there as he is in the garden. What is that prayer as he's praying this prayer to his Father? "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but you got it? And he chose to die. Everybody and their dog knew what was waiting on him in Jerusalem. His family told him, "Don't go, don't go." But he went because he had an appointment. He humbled himself as the humble servant. Now, let me remind you, when he comes back the next time, he's not coming back as the humble servant. No. He's coming back as the reigning, ruling Lord Jesus. That's why John the Revelator would say to us, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. I'm ready for you to come. When every knee," we sang it a moment ago, "every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord." Now, a few questions. Did he verify himself? Was it validated? Well, his disciples verified it. Verse 16 speaks about them. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. The word of their testimony. Their lives will become a testimony of every word, every deed that proceeded from Jesus. Only John would not die a martyr's death. Well, Judas didn't exactly die a martyr's death, but he died. But John is the only one that remained faithful that would not die a martyr's death. You've got to really believe something that you're willing to die for. And in history, if you look back at the historical accounts that are given from secular historians where they chronicle the lives of believers in Jesus who voluntarily gave up their lives, not for some hokey, hateful reason, but by the love of Christ and they laid down their lives. You see, when we're living our lives out for Christ, we're validating the gospel. We're validating the life. We're validating the fulfillment of Jesus through our very lives. That's the thing that the world religions do not understand about our faith in Christ. His love. And that love that comes through us, that just exudes our personality. That the very people that are tempting to kill you, that you're praying for their salvation. Well, that's idiocy in any other universe, isn't it? But that's God's economy in this one. Did he verify himself? Well, verses 17 and 18 speak of Lazarus. Lazarus was a testimony of his power. Many people had seen Lazarus. They knew he was dead. He'd been dead in the grave for four days, and now he is alive. There's a living, breathing testimony of the power of God. Look at the people around us. Look at some of you that have experienced the divine healing of God, that God has touched your body and he's healed you immediately. There's a testimony of the power of God. Look at those of us who have had the change of life. Our lives were going in this direction. Now they're going in this direction. Only God can change a life. Not turning over a new leaf for the new year, but a real change of heart, a change of life. The evidence of Jesus' identity was mountainous. A third thing, the general population recognized him. Verse 19, let me read it to you again, speaks of the Pharisees. These religious guys. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." These religious guys were losing their grip on the population. They saw the whole world going after him. This shows the power of God as he was affecting their lives. God was doing something that man couldn't do. And Jesus was announcing that as he rode in Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, the triumphal entry. The final couple of questions. Who is he to you? Can you ignore the facts? Look at the evidence. Look at all the ways in which God has revealed himself to you. The things he has shown you. I mean, that one I told you a moment ago. My mom's sitting in there. She's in the hospital bed, and she just looks up and she says, "I have such peace." Where'd that come from? Vance Havner says it's the wind from elsewhere. The Holy Spirit was blowing through that room. Is the mountain of evidence that is around us true or is it false? You must decide for yourself. Think of all the other garbage you believe. I mean, think of it. We eat this particular food because we think it's going to have this. We've bought into some advertising about it. It's going to have this effect in our lives. Sometimes when we vote, we vote thinking, "Oh, I know that politician is going to do everything right." Last question. Can you accept him as your personal fulfillment? Not only did Jesus come and fulfill every single prophecy, and he will those that remain unfulfilled, but he also came to bring fulfillment to our lives. I've quoted often, that statement by Blaise Pascal. I love it. There's a God-shaped vacuum within each one of us. And nothing short of God can fill that vacuum. Is there an aching in your soul for more? You don't need more. You need Jesus. You don't need more stuff, more entertainment, more distraction. You need Jesus. The disciples were changed men and women after the resurrection and Pentecost. They were fulfilled people. They were so fulfilled that they were willing to lay down their lives voluntarily. Jesus will come and fill an empty vessel. Have you let Him fill you? Do you know Him today? Do you have Him in your life? He's willing to come into your life, make you a new person. Maybe you have Him in your life, but maybe you've relegated Him to a religious aspect of your life. God's not interested in our religion. He's interested in having a personal relationship with us on a daily basis. How is it with you and the Lord today? We're about to observe communion today, and I encourage you. The Scripture says, let a man, let a woman examine himself before you come to the table. I want to give you a couple of minutes to do that. Altar's open. As we ready for communion, why don't we just bow our heads and ask God to speak to us and get us ready to come to His table. Let's pray. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. The broken body of our Lord Jesus for me and for you. The Son of God who stepped out of heaven, became a man, and took our place upon the cross. Jesus broken for me and for you. And in the same way, He took the cup. It was the third cup of that night, the cup of redemption. Also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. The blessing over the cup and thanking our Lord for His poured out blood in our behalf. Thank You, Jesus. Fulfillment. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for the sins of the people. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And it's the body of Jesus broken for you. Rick, the body of Jesus broken for you. We're glad to have the Reverend Fields helping us today. The body of Jesus broken for you, Jeff. The blood of Jesus poured out in your behalf. The blood of Jesus poured out for you, Rick. The blood of Christ poured out for you, Dane.
Body of Jesus broken.
Amen.
Just the blood of Christ.
Amen. We invite you to the table of our Lord. And the way we usually do communion here, for those of you who are guests, we'll pinch off as you come down the aisle and go out this way. We'll pinch off a little piece of the bread. We'll put it in your hand and say, "The body of Jesus broken for you." And you'll step in front of the cup and dip it into the cup where those words will be stated, "The blood of Jesus poured out for you." It's called method of intinction. We invite you, come and celebrate at the Lord's table. Come. The body of Jesus broken for you. Aggie, come on up here, baby. You can bring some of your family with you too. Especially your sister. Come on over here. Now, where are you going this week?
I'm going to Brunswick, Georgia.
To do what?
To go to Job Corps.
All right. Well, we're going to pray over you and send you out. How long are you going to be there?
2 to 3 years.
All right.
Hopefully.
Well, we want to lay hands on you and send you out. And in case y'all didn't know, Aggie's sister is pregnant with a little girl, right? No, I'm speaking that prophetically over her right now. She announces it on April Fool's Day, so had us all going. But we want to lay hands on you, Aggie, because we love you and we've prayed for you a lot over the years. Let's pray. Lord, we anoint our young sister. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for her. God, we're asking you to go before her, that you would protect her, that your hand would be upon her, that you would grant her favor. Lord, as she puts her life in your hands, I pray that you will protect her, guard her mind and her heart. Lord, I pray that you'll put her with people that will be good influencers, those who will build her up and not tear her down. God, I pray that you'll find for her a body of believers that she can connect with. And Lord, we thank you. And we also thank you, Lord, for this new arrival that's going to come to the Moore home, and we pray your protection over that child that at least carries within her today. And thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.